Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
And you're listening to Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions. Hello, my dove.
Hello, dear.
How are you?
Better today. Yesterday, lots of drainage, lots of coughing.
Lots of snots.
Problems with my voice. But today.
Yeah.
Today is a new day. And
yes.
I am on the mend. I am back to, I think, baseline. This is about right. I'm maybe still a little congested, but...
I think you sound beautiful, melodic, angelic, one might say.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm my usual 110% self. Every day is a gift, and just walking on sunshine.
Okay.
And I'm starting to feel good.
All right.
I went to the chiropractor this morning. It's all better.
How would you review your chiropractor?
5 stars out of 5.
Nice. That's a great review.
Yes. The building did spook me early in the morning. I looked up and I was like, oh, this is a big, scary, old-timey looking building. But inside, very nice. Loved it. Loved the decor. They were playing some good music. I had a great time.
Would you be willing to review online?
No, absolutely not. I never do that.
You never do that?
I never think about it.
That's what we're talking about this week.
I know.
Online reviews specifically. Now, we do have another episode about reviews. And we talk more about the art of critique in that episode. Please go back and listen to it. But I mention in that episode that in order to be a critic, you need to have... knowledge and taste of the subject, right? I talk about how it's important that you love the form more than you love the creator, that you are able to see past kind of like the surface level and expound upon how you're affected and all that kind of stuff, right? For like people
but
who
not
love-
if you're reviewing like a small diner, then you can just be like, I don't know, man. It was the weirdest tuna salad I've ever had in my
life. Right. So we're talking today specifically about online reviews of things like products and diners or, you know, places like that. Like what a person who maybe isn't a critic, the challenges and history of reviews from those perspectives.
Okay. So online reviews started back in 1632.
Nope.
1995.
Somewhere between those two dates.
Yes.
So, first of all, way back, you may not have had a choice, depending upon where you lived, to be a patron of a business.
Oh, I see. So it's like there's one hardware store. There was
one
restaurant.
One restaurant. One place to go get your haircut. It doesn't matter how bad it was. If you had to go there, you had to go
there. That was it.
That was it.
If you didn't like it, you needed to move to a different town where there were other businesses.
Or start your own. Right? That's a possibility. But the reviews didn't have a lot to do with the business kind of structure.
Yeah.
Because even if it was bad, that was the only way.
It was usually like, hey, don't get... the tuna surprise. That's the second tuna. Let me go
that's
a different
the second
one.
Tuna.
Don't get the broccoli surprise or whatever, because the surprise is there's no broccoli in it or whatever. Right? It would be like, this is what you want to get at that restaurant. Don't get anything else. Right?
Right.
Right.
But then we get to the 19th century, and this is when we start to see a rise in newspapers.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
And not only is there the newspaper that is a great way of spreading information, they also need something to put in the newspaper.
Yeah, that's true.
And the more
they can't sell a blank one. It can't be like stuff on the front and then you open it. Like, I can't wait a minute. There's nothing else in here.
I mean, single page editions are fine, but like, you know, they want to sell more papers. So they want information to put in the papers.
Well, the newsies are out there. They're working hard. They got to sell the papes.
I know. Several editions a day sometimes.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that started popping up are reviews of businesses and such, which at first were probably treated more like gossip columns than anything else. But, you know, as it gets more and more formalized, we get to respect these things a little bit more. Now, it's not the only time that we see kind of reviews in print.
Uh-huh.
And we've talked about this, like I said, in the other episode. In the 19th century France, Alexandre, Balthazar, Lorente, Guillaume de la Reynie.
The name just keeps going, huh?
Yeah, he was a food critic.
Okay. I'm not sure which of those were separate names and which were just hyphenated, maybe. Is it five different names?
Yeah, look.
Don't hold your phone so close. Alexandre, Balthazar, Lorente, Grimaud de la Reynie.
Yep.
Reynie.
And so he published the Gourmand's Almanac to give foodies advice on which restaurants to eat in France.
Uh-huh.
It was several tomes, okay? There were a lot of restaurants at the time.
Not like now. There's only the one in France, but it's huge.
It was more of a guidebook, okay, right, than like a formal review. But then once we have the newspapers, you can now have this widely read, inexpensive source for news, right? And here's the thing, right? New York Times.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Published their first restaurant review on January 1st, 1859.
Okay.
That seems so late to me, but you have it. There it is. The reviewer themselves wished to remain anonymous, being described as only a strong-minded reporter of the Times.
It was Abraham Lincoln.
Probably not.
But it could have been. 1859? Could have been.
Probably not.
You don't know, though.
The piece begins.
He was honest. He was known for his honesty. I bet he ate food.
Occasionally, I assume.
I'm saying it could have been Abraham Lincoln.
It begins with the assignment as given to them by the editor. It says, "Dine somewhere else today and somewhere else tomorrow. I wish you to dine everywhere, from the Astor House restaurant to the smallest description of a dining salon in the city, in order that you may furnish an account of all of these places." And in the article, it was admitted that the paper would be paying for the dinners.
Mm.
And so it kind of set this precedent about...
President?
No. Okay. It set a precedent about reviewers remaining anonymous, which is not something that we really have today as far as online reviews. You have to publish an email address usually, or you have to have an account to log in to things like Yelp and things like
that. Yeah, not so anonymous, like no one could figure out who you were, right? But anonymous in that you could make your screen name something else and then you review it.
You don't have to be associated with it, but you are traceable.
Well, I mean, this reporter was traceable at the time if you went to the paper and said, like, hey, who was it? I'm saying you can't say there's no anonymity on the internet when you review a place, right? Like, I'm just saying it's more anonymous than maybe we think.
Maybe. All right. So shortly after restaurant reviews became popular, it was possible that people would see the writers, right? And so when you have the chef who might know who you are, that you might get a different experience. That's what I'm talking about.
So you start wearing costumes, showing up in disguise.
I mean, maybe, but more like different names, probably.
Oh, okay.
And so there is a reviewer, famously today, that is still anonymously reviewing, Marina O'Loughlin, who is from The Guardian. She does not allow photographs of her to be taken, and there's only one published photograph of her with a white plate covering her face.
It's Abraham Lincoln.
No.
Okay.
He's dead.
What? Hold on. What happened?
People don't live for 200 years.
Oh, okay. So he died of old age. Okay. So let's keep going.
Okay. Next we have, in the 1970s, Tim and Nina Zagat begin to compile restaurant ratings from diners who mostly at the beginning were just their friends. And then they published the very first Saget guide.
The Saget. Here's the thing. I think it was an SNL sketch. Maybe it was Chris Farley where he like read, it's Saget's. I'm going to read out of Saget's. And he would like open the book and just like read the review in like, oh, look, this is lovely. Oh, and it's got good. And I can't hear Saget just because of the way that it was said. Oh, it's Saget's. Saget. Oh. And I think about that all the time.
I've never seen that.
I don't know that I've ever picked up a Saget's. There's this weird, I talk about it a lot in different things. I call it cultural osmosis, which I think other people like maybe have different names for it, or maybe I didn't invent that name. But this thing of like, I know exactly what that is. And someone's like, oh, so you've used it or you've done it or you've seen it. I'm like, oh, absolutely not. But I know exactly what it is. I could tell you everything about it. I have never touched it in my life.
Interesting.
Saget's.
Thanks, Chris Farley. So getting to the heart of the matter, the first online reviews began to make an appearance in 1999. And those weren't even like reviews of brick and mortar stores. It was mostly, like we've talked about before, like eBay.
Yeah.
Right? And it was meant to help people kind of like suss out the legitimacy of who they were buying things from.
I think at this point, still, I mean, what, 25 years later,
mm-hmm.
like customer reviews is like the biggest metric, maybe most important metric when it comes to like e-shopping, right? Because this idea, especially when you're dealing with like drop shippers and Amazon and stuff, and you can't pick the thing up,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, this looks exactly what I need. And then it's like, it has 10,000 reviews and one star. And you're like, oh, this isn't what I need. I'm not getting this at all.
I mean, I think that the also a little tangent on that, people paying for reviews mm-hmm. and reviews on one thing. Like I have been shopping before and looked at reviews to find that the reviews that are on the page for the item are not reviewing that item.
Yeah.
They're for other items.
Well, and there's also
to kind of pad out the reviews.
This is just a word of warning. I watch a lot of videos on YouTube about like scams and stuff. And there's also people who, and I don't know which websites allow you to do this, right? But there are plenty of people on different places who will delete negative reviews.
That's unscrupulous.
Indeed. So that way, like, you look and you're like, oh, this must be a scam. And then you look and it's like, all these reviews are like 4 and 5 stars and talk about how great it is. And it's like, well, yeah, but they've deleted all the bad ones.
So this is where it differs from the critic idea, right? Because now every person who can sign in, who has an email address or whatever, can leave a review. They may not be talented in reviewing. Mm-hmm. They may not have any expertise. The idea is you read these reviews kind of with a little bit of the sirens going off in your head, like, what does this person really know? Are they talking about their personal experience? Is it more about when this shipped to me, it was broken?
Right.
Instead of like,
or like they ordered a size that was too small and that has nothing to do.
Right.
I think it's why customer reviews online should be viewed as like an aggregate score.
Yeah.
Right. Where, like, for example, right, if I was looking for the best keyboard, right, to use with my computer, I might go on something like Wirecutter or look at like reviews of like, hey, we are experts in this thing. We put it through its tests and this is what we determined to be the best thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I'm going to take that one source, you know, or whatever, versus I'm looking for, I don't know, a bookcase, right? And I'm scrolling through an online shop looking at bookcases, and I'm looking for things that have, you know, thousands of scores and looking at the aggregate number of like, oh, okay, out of these thousands of reviews, the average out of 5 stars is like 4.9. That's really good. Mm-hmm. There might be somebody in there who's like, I ordered this bookcase and I don't like how it looks in my room. 1 star or whatever.
Yeah.
But the aggregate score is what I'm looking for.
So you have this kind of like check and balance, right? You've got people who aren't maybe they aren't beholden to a company or institution. And so they have this really like fresh kind of take on things. And then you have people who don't understand that they didn't like the bookcase, but the bookcase is doing the thing that it's supposed to be doing and is as expected. And so they give it 1 star because they don't like it. But like you have to, it is becoming kind of an art form mm-hmm. of specifically online shopping to be able to sift through these kind of things.
Yeah. And I especially, and I'm sure we're going to talk more about etiquette after the break, but you got to watch out too. There are people who are like, oh, I own this business and they're my rivals. Mm-hmm. So we're going to send people to write negative reviews on their page, even though they've never been there. This happened recently.
Another unscrupulous tactic.
Yeah, where there was like this kerfuffle on the social medias about, I believe it was like a fox tattoo. And people are like, we're going to metaphorically burn that place to the ground with Yelp reviews. But they went to the wrong, like, tattoo parlor.
Oh, man.
And they were, like, filling it with bad reviews. And it was like, that wasn't even the place.
Yeah.
Whoa. And I am so excited to learn more. But first, how about a word from another Max Fun show?
Back for another game.
You know it.
What's going on?
Just one more week till Max Fun Drive.
Hard to believe. It's been a heck of a year since the last one. We're now a worker-owned co-op. We raised $50,000 for charity last year.
And we've added a bunch of awesome new shows. But do you think we're ready to do it again?
Absolutely. Lovely new gifts are lined up. The episodes will be amazing, and wait till everyone hears the bonus content.
Yeah, plus they know to go to MaximumFun.org/newsletter, so they're getting all the news. Oh, like that meetup day is on Thursday, March 21st.
Then what's bothering you?
Me? Oh, nothing. We're all set for Max Fun Drive to start on Monday, March 18th. I just didn't want you to see this coming. Check.
What? Hang on!
Most of the plants humans eat are technically grass.
Most of the asphalt we drive on is almost a liquid.
The formula of WD-40 is San Diego's greatest secret.
Zippers were invented by a Swedish immigrant love story.
On the podcast Secretly Incredibly Fascinating, we explore this type of amazing stuff.
Stuff about ordinary topics like cabbage and batteries and socks.
Topics you'd never expect to be the title of the podcast. Secretly Incredibly Fascinating.
Find us by searching for the word secretly in your podcast app.
And at MaximumFun.org.
Okay, tell me more about reviews.
Okay.
So far, you're telling me about it. 2 thumbs up, 5 stars.
So we've got in 2001, the Yellow Pages and City Search added an online review feature to their own business directories.
Yellow Pages, for those of you listening at home, they used to deliver books to people with very thin, cheap paper. And they would write these things called phone numbers on them. And you would call them, and sometimes someone would be there. It was very exciting.
And then in 2004, Yelp came on the scene as like a one-stop shop for small businesses, reviews, and opinions. 2007 brought us Goodreads for public book reviews. And then 2011 gave us Letterboxd for amateur movie critics to bask in. And so now, like, if you can talk about it, you can review it on the internet. Yeah. And, you know, we've got lots of different ways to do like Google reviews, and then there's Glassdoor reviews. And I mean, if you just look up hilarious Glassdoor reviews, there's
that's job application, right? Like employers and stuff.
Yeah, there's a Alex's favorite is from an ex Starbucks employee where the headline of the review is "Working here is poopy."
Oh boy.
And their advice to management was to suck some eggs.
Oh boy. Okay.
So this is what we're talking about,
there's
right?
There's like professor reviews and stuff too, right? Yep. Of like you can see like what kind of teacher you're looking at for the next semester.
Yep. There's like TripAdvisor, which offers reviews of like travel destinations. Facebook reviews we find are more for businesses, when Amazon allows you to review products. And then so like a 2019 survey by Shopper Approved said that a whopping 81% of consumers check Google reviews before trying out a new spot.
Yeah, I would say that's true. I mean, if I'm looking, especially, man, with kids, right? Like, I need to know if the place is, like, conducive to bring children to. I need to look at what's on the menu. Are the kids going to eat it? You know, like all kinds of stuff.
I would say that when we're looking for a restaurant specifically, I do tend to look at the menu. I don't know if I rely so much on the reviews as I do like the pictures. I love looking at pictures.
Oh, the pictures are amazing.
Of the restaurant, because I can tell from the pictures if it's going to be like, is this place well lit? Is this place like all high top tables or something, right? Or does it have nice cozy booths we can push the children into? Things like that.
Well, I have found that I think it's on Google, like Google Maps. I use a lot to find restaurants. If you search good for kids, it will pull up like things based on what they find in the reviews as well of this is good for kids, this is not good for kids or whatever. Yeah. And so you can find it by searching the like topics you're looking for, like allows dogs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it will, even if it's just mentioned in people's reviews, it will pull up to like that let you search through it.
So how to leave online reviews that are both thoughtful and helpful.
First, can I tell, Bibi does this thing, and it's really funny to me, where, like, she'll be eating dinner, and she's like, hey, this dinner? And she'll hold, like, one thumb up, and then she'll go, no, wait, hold on, I've changed my mind. Two thumbs up. And, like, hold two, and I'm like, okay, cool, man. And it just feels like such a, like, reviewer fit. Like, I don't know if she's picked it up from a YouTube video or something, like, thumbs up, no, wait. I was wrong. Two thumbs up. And it's like, it's a reveal. Like it's a double switch of like, no, I changed my mind. Two thumbs up. And it's like, whoa, thanks, man. Whoa. Anyways, like and subscribe.
So first, I think that the first thing that one should consider is when should I write a review? When is it actually appropriate to write an online review for something?
This is good to talk about, because for a long time, I think it's gotten a lot better, but for a long time, like the only reviews you would see on like Yelp were negative, right?
Right.
Because when you have a good experience, you're like, that was nice, right? And you just walk away. And it's people most want to leave their thoughts when they have something to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
like, it made it really hard sometimes to be like, I don't know, man, this place is like really well reviewed, but here on this website, it has like 2 stars. And if you look and it's like, yeah, there are 3 reviews and they're all very negative. And it's because it's like they had a singularly bad experience,
right,
and wanted to talk about it. But I think it's gotten a lot better now. I think people have gotten used to like, even if they don't leave a written review, they do the stars or they do thumbs up or whatever it is.
Right. And I think that what you really need to ask yourself is this review helpful?
Yeah.
Because for a couple of reasons. First, let's talk about kind of like genericism, right? Say that you're reviewing something on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
If you're reviewing a toothbrush, you probably don't need to type up a dissertation on how much you love this toothbrush, because a toothbrush is usually just a toothbrush.
Unless you can make it very funny, or if it's a toothbrush that has special qualities, right?
No, I'm just talking about like regular... Yeah. Regular toothbrush, they are pretty much all the same.
Right.
And they pretty much tell you what you're going to get. Are the bristles soft? Are the bristles hard? Does it have the little plastic thingies that might stab your gums? Or does it not? That kind of thing.
I don't think they're supposed to stab your gums. Is that happening to you?
I think it is.
Oh, babe, you have to unwrap the toothbrush. I would say, though, just to use this as an example, right? If it was something like, oh, this is activated charcoal and it has this and this and this technology that's going to do this and this and this, and you buy it and you're like, it doesn't do any of that and it tastes, I don't know, like dirt, right? Then
charcoal.
That would be
like dirt.
It does taste like dirt. That would be an excellent thing to leave in a review for someone like me who's like, but they say it's better, so I should buy it. And then you're like, no, don't do that, Travis. It is not better.
But on the other side, right, you have maybe like clothing, right, which is really dependent on the sizing and the way that it's cut and how different bodies are going to fit into it is different for every person, right? So reviews can be helpful,
right,
where you talk about this garment runs very small. It right. says that it's a large, and I usually wear a large, but it fit me very tightly. So maybe size up, that kind of thing, right?
And also, I mean, the reviews that I always really appreciate and stuff like that, because it is online, I'm not picking it up. I'm not able to try it on. If you're like, the fabric's really scratchy, right? Or like, it's very thin, or I wore it for a week and it started to fall apart, right? That's very helpful when I can't physically pick it up and hold it, right? I want to look and see if it's like, do not do this, right? Or like, I buy a lot of aquarium equipment, right? And one of the things I look for is like, it's really loud, right? Or it runs super quiet or whatever, because that's one of the things I need. And I can't know that until I've bought it.
Exactly. So we've got kind of like one side of the scale is, was it really bad? You're allowed to write a review. Was it really good? You're allowed to write a review. Now, I also think that in the age of online shopping specifically, if an item is as expected, I believe that that is okay to write a review for. Because so many times we see a picture of, like, say, a rug, right, that you want to buy. And someone in the reviews writes, this rug is 3 by 5 inches instead of 3 by 5 feet.
That's important to know.
That's very important to know. It may not, you know, depending upon how legit the store is, right, that's selling this, maybe on like Amazon or whatever, right? They may not actually say, and the pictures could be misleading. I think that it's an okay thing to write, this was as expected.
Now, let me tell you what you don't need to write. And this, I did a bit on My Brother and Me for a while, where I would read one-star reviews for Justin and Griffin, and they would have to guess what the product was. And then my favorite ones I always came across were something like, I bought this for my daughter, and she didn't like it. One star. And it's like, well, hold on, man. Like, I don't know if that is the product. Like, this toy says it's great for all kids. And my daughter was, I got it for her and she was like, I don't want to play with this. So this product is bad. Like,
that's
now,
right.
Hold on, man.
Specifically speaking, though, you do want to keep your reviews as concise as possible, right? Because you're not getting extra points for flowery. Yep. Language. But you are getting points for getting to the point, right? And then make sure that your grammar and your spelling and your punctuation are correct. All of that aids in like understanding of your review, because if I can't read it, I can't.
And you also don't need backstory. You don't need to be like, I remember when I was a kid and I went to the store and this happened and this happened. And now you see that a lot in movie reviews.
Yeah.
For some reason, people would be like, I remember seeing this in theaters and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, cool, man. I just need to know if you liked the movie or not. Was it good? I don't understand looking at movie reviews to decide if you want to watch a movie or not. I'd rather watch the trailer and see if I'm interested, but that's just me, right?
Yeah,
unless
sure.
you're like, hey, this movie, 10 minutes in, it just goes to a black screen and remains a black screen for an hour and 20 minutes, and that's all there is. I would like to know that before I go see the movie. Otherwise, I'll probably just try it out.
That would be strange.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
This movie falls apart in a week or whatever. I guess I would need to know that. This movie is made of really scratchy material.
Next, you need to be very choosy whether or not you name someone in your review. Like for restaurants specifically, if you are writing a good review, it might be really helpful to shout out your server or someone who gave you great customer service. Not only is that kind of like really awesome to read that people enjoy being taken care of that way, but also some restaurants run little contests for servers or, you know,
get retail stuff where like there's a link at the bottom or something. There's a code at the bottom to review this person. And if you give me 10 stars or whatever, like that is like, I've worked a lot of retail jobs and that's something that they pay attention to.
But if someone wasn't particularly helpful, I would caution against naming that particular person in the review, because if you are that unsatisfied with a specific person, I would recommend reaching out to the owner instead, because they are the people who can actually rectify this situation. You writing an online review saying how somebody ignored you at a restaurant and their name was blah, 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 then that doesn't make anything better. It just makes life worse for that particular person.
I would also say that, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but you do not know what factors have gone into that person's day that has brought them to this point. And I would argue most of the things that you would complain about a specific server on, like at a restaurant, is like maybe a factor that's completely outside of their control. Like the restaurant was understaffed and they had way too many tables, or like the kitchen was way behind and it took longer to get your food out, or like the food being made wrong is rarely like a server's fault unless they entered it wrong. Like, so I would say that somebody going above and beyond, right, is them being an exemplary employee. There being issues with like wait times, you know, food being wrong or cold or whatever, is more of an indication that there is something going wrong at the restaurant as a whole.
Right.
More than it's just like, man, this one person made everything wrong or whatever. Like, I think it's more of an indication of there's something that needs to be fixed about the processes.
And I think that that is okay to write in your review. It is okay to write that their sectioning for the tables is poor, so their servers are overwhelmed.
Right.
Or their kitchen is badly run, so the food comes out cold.
Right.
Or things like that, right? I think that is very helpful for someone, whereas calling out a person specifically saying it was all their fault, probably not very helpful. And I think that if you are writing online reviews, you need to be open to responses. In 2009, Yelp added the ability for businesses to reply to reviews. So it becomes more of a dialogue, right? Yeah. And so it's possible you might get a comment back on your review from a manager who wants to make things right. And I think that that's something that you really should try and be open to. I'm not saying that you can't express your frustrations, but be open to the possibility that the company really wants to try and make things better for you. And if you're a business owner, I think that that's a great tool for you to be ready to give those responses in a kind and respectful manner, of course. Not everyone is going to love everything that they do, and that's okay. Maybe that's not the demographic maybe that you're aiming for, like we've talked about the kids stuff. If you say that your restaurant is great for kids, and then somebody with kids has a poor experience because you don't have a kids menu,
right?
They might write that. And
hey,
then,
listen, if you're a restaurant owner, have a kids menu. Get some boxes of Kraft mac and cheese in there. Get some frozen get some frozen chicken nuggets. Like, it ain't hard. And listen, hey, listen, if you're listening and you own a restaurant and you have a kids menu and you have macaroni and cheese on there and it isn't Kraft macaroni and cheese.
This has become like a personal vendetta
for you. I know, but listen, any chance I get, what are you doing? Because I say to my kid, there's macaroni and cheese. And they're like, yeah. And then it comes and there's like some breadcrumbs and it's bruised and it's got all kinds of stuff in it. And my daughter like, no, what is this? This isn't, no, just make it Kraft macaroni and cheese. I'm over the moon if it's Kraft macaroni and cheese. Are you kidding me? You can bring me out one of those little microwavable cups of Kraft macaroni and cheese, and I'll be so happy because my kid will eat it while I'm eating food that I didn't have to make. It's amazing. Stop overdoing the kids' macaroni and cheese. Who are you trying to impress, my four-year-old? Come on. Sorry, I'm done now. It's just...
You're done?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, in summation...
Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Okay. We're done with macaroni and cheese. You said you were done.
Same with grilled cheese, by the way.
Oh,
cheese,
my God.
Cheese, bread. Don't put other stuff on there. They're children. Okay, go on.
Okay. So, in summation, please be effusive with your 5-star reviews. Everybody loves them. They're great. Also, don't be afraid, if you have any kind of like anxiety, to express your frustrations, right? But there are a few things I would recommend first. Reach out to the company first. Sometimes if you send them directly to them, instead of posting it online, they'll be eager to make things better for you.
Especially
to avoid
if it's
the negative review.
If it's like this, it was broken, right?
Right.
Like, cool, we can replace that. That's not an inherent problem with the company. I mean, if you're like, this was packed badly or whatever.
Right.
But so often that might be a deal with the delivery. It might be, I don't know, who knows, right?
But most people are willing to make it right, especially small businesses, right? Also have a reasonable amount of empathy. You never know what that person is going through. And, you know, we've talked about that. We've also talked about thinking before you post. Are you angry about this situation? Maybe having a cooling off period will help give you a little more, you know, insight on the matter. Sleep on it. Talk it out with your friends. Maybe try not to rely too much on this perceived anonymity, right?
Yeah, I would also say along with a certain amount of empathy, like have a reasonable expectation of the process even before you get there, right? Or some kind of gauge, because there would be a big difference between like, oh, I'm going to this like chain salon, right, where there's 18 people working all the time, to this like independently owned small business salon where there's maybe two people and I might have to wait a little bit longer because it's only two people, but the service, whatever, right? And so those are different experiences. And if you go into it expecting one or the other, you're going to be disappointed and your review is going to reflect that.
Yes. I would also say, don't feel guilty. If you are an anxious types person, and I sometimes am, don't feel guilty about reporting something like racism or homophobia or blatant sexism or anything like that. Because if you felt like creeped out or upset by a place, writing a review is a good way to make sure that other people avoid that experience.
Yeah.
So I think that is okay.
I agree. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our editor, Rachel, without whom we could not make the show. Thank you to our researcher, Alex, without whom we could not make the show. And thank you to you for listening. You're great. 5 stars, 1 thumb up. No, wait. 2 thumbs up. Go to macroymerch.com. Check out all the cool merch that's there for your purchase. All 5-star stuff. All amazing stuff. And let's see, what else, Teresa?
We always thank Brent, Brental Floss Black, for writing our theme music, which is available as a ringtone where those are found. Also, thank you to Bruja Betty Pennant Photography for the cover picture of our fan-run Facebook group, Schmanners Fanners. If you love to give and get excellent advice from other fans, go ahead and join that group today. As always, we are currently taking topic submissions and questions and idioms, always. Please submit those to schmannerscast@gmail.com and say hi to Alex because she reads every one.
And that's going to do it for us. So join us again next week.
No RSVP required.
You've been listening to Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly
by you.